is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, start this school year off strong with up to $4,000 off Dr. Dish basketball shooting machines. Huge back-to-school savings with Dr. Dish, up to $4,000 off their professional shooting machine lineup. Dr. Dish Basketball is here to help you make this school year the best yet with exclusive offers on their All-Star Plus, Rebel Plus, and CT Plus shooting machines, all designed to give your team the ultimate training experience. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
This is Dr. Rob Bell, sports psychology coach, speaker, and author of the book, Puke and Rally. It's not about the setback, it's about the comeback. You're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new FastDraw and FastScout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinsing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. We are jumping on to talk what little NBA
the doldrums. News, this is officially the doldrums, events, Mike. This is when we are in like
dances, whatever may be going on after you sent me James Harden's dance that he's doing over in China.
Well, that's not the only thing he's doing over in China, Mike.
That is not the only thing he's doing in China. And we have his statement pulled up. Can I do a dramatic
reading?
Sure,
do you need any like drum roll or anything? Okay.
No, I don't need anything. I was thinking about doing it in a voice, but I don't want to offend anybody, so I'll just do it in a dramatic read. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Let me say that again. Daryl Morey is a liar, and I will never be a part of an organization that he's a part of. Would you like to make your own dramatic statement based off of that?
James Harden is a liar. I would never want him to be a part of our organization.
Okay. Yeah, imagine you're another GM and change James Harden's statement. You were on the right track.
James Harden, I don't want him to be a part of my organization. The end.
Let me say that again. I do not want James Harden to ever be a part of my organization. I feel like we're beating a completely dead horse that has been buried and decomposing and there's really nothing left of him. But who would want this guy? Who? And at what price? Would you want him as part of the Cavs at any price? Like if you could pay him the veterans minimum,
I would roll the dice on it. But I think that's my minimum. That's my maximum.
That's a hard no.
That's a hard no. Come on. If he was a veteran minimum, you still wouldn't want him to be around?
No. Absolutely not. What's he going to do for your team? What does he do for you?
I mean,
I'm being serious. In the regular season, okay, he led the league in assists. Woo, great. Okay.
I mean, I just feel like if you could get him for the veteran minimum and you put him. Had him coming off the bench behind Darius Garland. I wouldn't say that would be an okay.
He's a culture setter. I mean, is that what you're saying?
He'd be an upgrade from Rubio, right? And we don't even know if Rubio is going to play this year. Listen. There's probably too much baggage, and I probably
bring back Billy. Bring back Billy.
He's on a team somewhere, right?
I feel like he is. I don't know. Maybe. Bring back Billy.
Yeah, but
There's nobody who wants him. I mean, nobody's going to give up anything for the guy. You're not. Nobody's going to pay him what he evidently thinks he's worth. If I'm Philly, I don't want him. There's really nobody else out there that makes sense for James Harden. I know that he's been linked to the Clippers, but if you're another team, Clippers or otherwise, what would you give up to have the right to then pay James Harden $35 million this year and then more than likely have to re-sign him for who knows how much? Now, he's never going to get what he thinks he's going to get or what he thought he was going to get when he opted out, when he turned down the Nets money, whatever that was, a year and a half ago. But I continue to just be flabbergasted that any team would want this guy around. Now, look, obviously, if he's available at the veterans minimum, there'd be some teams that would take a look and would love to have James Harden on their team at that price. But at what you're going to have to pay to get James Harden on your team, no thanks. I mean, it just doesn't, again, I've said it a million times, the guy disappears in the biggest moments. And when you talk about guys who historically are the best players, those are the guys that come through in big moments. And James Harden's entire career has just been a huge proving ground of he's not going to come through when you need him most. So I can't see this ending with any way, shape, or form other than there's a stalemate in Philadelphia. And at some point, either Daryl Morey has to swallow his pride and trade Harden for a lot less than what Morey perceives his value to be, or Harden just pouts his way through the season and wears his fat suit and who knows what happens from there. I don't see a resolution to this where James Harden goes to another team and ends up signing an extension or signing a long-term deal with another team for whatever he thinks he's worth. I just don't see it happening. And I don't know why. Again, like I said, I don't know what team would want this guy. If you're really trying to win a championship, you do not want this guy on your team. You just don't. I mean, he's never going to win. You're never going to win with him.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. Listen, I would still pay him the veterans minimum if that wasn't a possibility. But I mean, what about Embiid? Philly took Philly off his bio. I mean,
yeah.
So I'm a Philly fan. Chris Ryan probably is running around like a crazy man right now. Listen, here's the bottom line. I don't understand. Here's my thing. What did Daryl Morey do saying that he was going to try to trade James Harden? Is that basically what he did to make him a liar? I mean, Harden was with Morey for all those years in Houston. Okay. Then Daryl Morey shipped him out to Brooklyn. And then acquired him again. So what did Daryl Morey do to get this kind of ire? Did he like, or is it like just James Harden being an idiot?
Well, I think there was the promise of when Harden took less money last year, so ostensibly they could sign Daniel House and PJ Tucker, that there's talk that obviously there's a wink wink situation there. And then this season, Harden opts in to the $35 million contract, where if he had opted out, then Philly could have potentially explored sign and trade deals. Or if Harden didn't get what he wanted, he could have just signed with anybody he wanted to. So it seems like what had to have happened is, or at least in Harden's mind, what he wants you to believe happened is that Philly said, hey, take this pay cut or sign for less than what we think you're worth, and then we'll take care of you. And then when he opts in, obviously at that point, you have to think that Harden had the conversation with Morey of, look, I'm going to opt in and then I want to be traded, which doesn't seem like the smartest strategy on Harden's part. It seems like I would have just declined that option and said to Philly, hey, find me a sign and trade, or if that didn't work, then I could go out and sign with whoever I want for whatever amount of money I could get out on the open market. So it seems like a miscalculation on Harden's part.
Wait,
James, and who knows what's James true Harden or what's not true, but something? I think those are the things.
No way.
Hard to imagine. Hard to imagine. Okay. So let me ask you this. Big picture, right? You have Joel Embiid removing Philadelphia from his location in his Twitter bio, which, who knows, is that, I don't want to say it's meaningless, because obviously that's something that you do on purpose. It's not like you're just going on and changing your bio all the time. So that's clearly something he did to get a rise out of somebody or to send some kind of message. But I would go back and make an argument again that I've made numerous times. Do I want to build my championship contending team? I know I don't want to build it around James Harden. I've made that abundantly clear. And I think in the past, I've also made it abundantly clear that I really don't want to build my championship team around Joel Embiid for reasons that we've talked about many, many times. One, you just can't count on the guy to be healthy. And two, he's just not in good enough condition to be able to carry a team for
I will say, though, Mike, just so you know, I know he took Philly out of his bio, but he wrote this tonight or today at 2:07 p.m. on Twitter. I did some research here while you were talking. Make sure you all show some love to the GOAT in our city tonight. Okay, so sidebar, Lionel Messi playing for Inter Miami. I don't know how much you followed of this, but or if you.
I thought Jordan was in town.
Lionel Messi, he's played in 6 games. He has 9 goals in the MLS at 38 years old. Like, that just
is that a lot of goals?
A 38-year-old guy in a game that scores 2 to 3 goals per game, maybe for a team. Anyways,
how good is the MLS compared to like good soccer?
This is kind of like the whole Beckham thing. Like he came. Like, I don't want to get into. I don't really know that much about soccer. I have been following Lionel Messi a little bit just because I'm interested in it. Well,
good for you.
Twitter, man. Really, more than anything. Anyways, he wrote this. Hold on. Football. Make sure y'all show some love to the GOAT in our city tonight. But let's first get that dub. Hashtag Philly. So he wrote in our city tonight. So is this just happenstance? Right. Did he remove the Philly in his bio a long time ago, and people just notice it now because of the Harden stuff? Like,
it had to be. People are too smart. If he had done that a long time ago, somebody would have said something. I guess for me, it still comes down to, like, if I'm a Philly fan, and look, I'm not suggesting that you're not going to get rid of Joel Embiid or be happy if you lose Joel Embiid, but
I mean, they lose Joel Embiid. Listen, Mike, I think they lose Joel Embiid and James Harden. Man, we're going to be in that play-in tournament quarterfinals because the rest of our division all of a sudden is not going to be – I mean, Indiana would be the team – I guess Atlanta, theoretically, but I'm not really afraid of Atlanta. I don't know.
Well, can we safely say at this point that the process is hanging on by the barest of threads?
Oh, yeah.
Can we safely say that? Are we ready to – abandon the process? I mean, once Embiid goes, which if this Harden thing goes south, what are the odds that we're sitting here next year at this time and Joel Embiid is still one year in his 76er?
So zero. He opted in for 1 year. So he
no. this Harden. I'm saying you said, well, you I'm said saying Harden. Embiid. You said I'm Harden. Saying Embiid, not Harden.
What's Did the I? Probability I'm that Harden that Embiid's on the team? I think it's probably 60-40.
Okay. So there's a 40% chance that the 10 years worth of the process has gotten the Sixers to the second round of the playoffs, right? They never made it to the conference finals that year with Jimmy Butler when they lost to the Raptors.
They should have been in the conference final
on the Kawhi shot. But that was in the second round. So they should have been.
If that shot doesn't fall, they're in the conference final.
Right, I get it. But nonetheless, it did fall. So you're looking at 10 years of the process, and the best you got was a second round exit
in
the playoffs.
I think what that tells you is that it is really, really, really hard to win in the NBA, and you have to be extremely lucky. And no matter what anyone says, you have to have a legitimate top five player in the league. And even that might not be enough. You might have to have one of the two or three best players in the league to even have a real shot at winning a title. You go back, I don't know when the last time you didn't have a guy who would be considered one of the top three players in the league.
Probably has won a title.
I mean, I know you go back and say there.
2020 was it 2014? Probably. It's got to be the Spurs of 2014. There you go.
Probably. See how quick I did that, Mike? Right. Yeah, you're probably right. That was good. That was impressive. I was about to pull up a list of past NBA champions.
Here's what I would have done. I would have gone
go back
Spurs
and say, obviously,
20, you know, both 2015 and 2011. 2014 and 2011. And then before that, I probably would have gone.
Well, when does Duncan drop out? When does Duncan drop out?
He wasn't in the top three in 2011. I would probably go back. Oh, no, that was Nowitzki in 2011. That was the Mavericks in 2011, Spurs in 2014. So I would say Nowitzki probably wasn't a top three player at that point. I would say.
Probably not, but he was a top 10 player.
I would probably go 2008 Boston
Pistons,
Celtics.
Right.
Was Pierce Garnett or Ray Allen a top 10 player in the NBA? I mean, the three of them combined were great, but I don't know. I'd have to really like.
You'd probably make an argument KG was probably on the fringes of the top 10.
That's off the dome, Mike. That's off the dome. So,
yeah.
Because 2009 was 2009 would have been the Lakers. So Kobe was clearly a top five player. And then who won 2010?
After the Lakers.
Because 2009 was Magic Lakers in the finals when we lost to the Magic. 2010. Well, this is bothering me. I can get all the way the rest of the way now.
I'm pulling it up right now. I'm pulling it up right now.
2010 finals. It was the Lakers. They went back to back, right? But who did they play?
Yeah, because they beat – that was the Magic.
That was 2009.
Was that the year they beat the Magic, or was that 2009?
They beat the Magic. Because I was in Africa when we lost the Mavericks.
All right, so –
Magic.
Let me get up here. 2010, the Lakers beat the Celtics. That was the year Kobe in game seven shot like seven for 24 in the –
So I mean, I would say probably it's definitely Duncan in the 2014 finals. I mean, because Kawhi, when they won in 2019, you would consider Kawhi a top.
Right, he was a top. Yeah, he was a top three player. So anyway, I guess the point is that you have to have a really good guy, and in the last 10 years since that Spurs championship, you would argue that the champion has had one of the top three players in the league. I don't think there's even a doubt about any of the last 10 champions. So I don't know. The process, it's really hard to win. And if you're a Philly fan, I think that you probably, if you go through that whole deal again, it's probably about as bad as it could turn out, in all honesty, right? I mean,
Fultz,
you had
Simmons.
Fultz, you had Simmons, two guys who basically just melted down in some form or fashion, both number one overall picks, which is, I mean, it's crazy that when you look at the production of overall number one picks, I mean, those two guys, now look, Simmons is 25 and maybe he reclaims some shred of his career, but he's never going to live up to a number one overall draft pick. And Fultz has obviously resurrected his career, but he's resurrected it to the point where he can be maybe a serviceable starter.
They're still better than Anthony Bennett.
Average team. They're still better than Anthony Bennett. I guess the point here is that it's really hard to win, and no matter how you go about trying to do it, there's no real guarantee. So look, we all spend a lot of time arguing about this team should do that or that team should do this. And hey, if they do this, then they got a road to the championship. And the fact is, you can do everything right or do everything wrong and it still may not work out. There's a ton of luck and injuries and all the things that go into who wins the title. So bottom line in this Harden thing is I expect it to drag into the season.
Here's a question, Mike, because I don't know the logistics, and like if they just straight up release him, they have to pay him and he comps against their cap. If I'm a Philadelphia 76ers, do I just say I'm releasing you? I don't want to deal with you, or because he's going to be cancerous in the locker room.
Well, the answer lies in the conversation with Embiid. The answer lies in the conversation with Embiid, probably. Right? Because you're going to go to Embiid and you're going to say, hey, what do we want to do with this guy? And can we get him back into the fold? And will he play hard with the idea that he has to, quote unquote, prove himself to another team to be able to get that next $100 million contract? Does he come in? Look, his track record would tell you what he's going to do, right? He's going to pout or he's going to be a malcontent.
Malcontent? So what?
That's James Harden I'm getting.
I saw a good meme, Mike, today that said James Harden preparing to try to get out of Philly, and it was the meme of the guy going through the drive-thru at a fast food and saying, 50 hamburgers, 50 fries, 50 large milkshakes.
Yeah. I mean, it all comes down to, I think, what Embiid says, and then from there, you just judge it based on Harden's behavior. Clearly, they don't want to just release him and let him go, because as you said, you got to pay him and somebody's going to pick him up, and then you have nothing to show for what you did. So they're clearly not going to do that. But the idea that they're going to trade James Harden for another bona fide,
I mean, what's the best offer? The Clippers are clearly where he wants to go. What's the best thing that they could get from the Clippers? Because I can't imagine Paul George is.
Nah, they're getting pieces, parts. You're getting some of those young bench guys,
right? I just don't see what they're going to get for him.
They're just going to get some pieces, parts, and that's the best you could hope for. I guess if you're Philly, what you'd hope to do is get some guys that could be part of your rotation, that if Maxey takes a leap, and now you have Maxey, Embiid, and some strong role players, that maybe you think that's enough. I'm telling you right now, that's not enough. And as I've said, Embiid is not carrying you to a title. You better have a very, very close number two, because Embiid is not going to be able to carry your team for the 2 months of an NBA playoff run. He's just not. I think the process is about done, and I won't be surprised if next season that there is no James Harden in Philadelphia and there is no Joel Embiid.
So the Cavs are a three seed, is what you're saying?
And I don't know. I don't know about that, but I think Philly starts. I think Philly a year from now is looking
at process 2.0,
a whole new team.
It's like 2.0. We're starting over. Turning into Top Thrill 2. It's going to be process 2.
There you go. They're starting it over. Daryl's going to start it over, or Daryl's going to get fired.
Here's my question: What if Philly fires Daryl, and then Harden says, "Well, oh, wait a second. Hold on a second. Oh no, my brain is breaking." I don't know if I can do.
Do they fire Daryl?
And
maybe they could.
If they go to James Harden and say, "What do we have to do?" and he says, "Fire Daryl, and I'll stick around." Like, is that a possible outcome?
I mean, I guess it would be. I would tend to laugh if Harden came to me with that demand if I was an owner of the Philadelphia 76ers. But it's always a possibility. Look. At this point, players have been emboldened to ask for just about anything. So,
okay,
that wouldn't surprise me.
All right. So, are we done with Harden? Can we move on now?
Hey, Hoopheads Nation. Whether you're a beginner basketball player looking for a place to start or a seasoned vet looking to level up your skills, I want to tell you about your new go-to secret weapon. It's called Train. Train is a basketball training and education platform that gives you on-demand access to premium basketball courses created by expert coaches and trainers from around the world. Want to get better at blowing by your defender? Learn setup drills with NBA and international pro trainer Marius Williams, or how to use the punch drag with NBA trainer Kerry Darting. Looking to level up your catch-and-shoot skills? practiced space shooting workouts with former lead female trainer for Kobe Bryant's Mamba League, San Dixon. Or if you're just starting out, learn the basics of shooting and finishing at the basket from international champion, three-time Romanian Player of the Year, and Train co-founder, Vlad Moldovaniu. Train has 32 and counting actionable, expert-led, on-demand basketball training courses that teach you exactly how to improve your ball handling, shooting, attacking, and more. For a limited time, HoopHeads listeners get 35% off monthly, annual, and lifetime plans. Just go to gotrainbasketball.com/hoopheads to learn more and sign up for a free 7-day trial.
Okay, so then right now we've got the Team USA playing, and they've won three in a row. And Mike, you said you wanted to talk about this, and here's what I'm going to tell you. I've paid zero attention to this. Now, I think part of it is that they're overseas, and I just don't know it. No one on this team is getting me excited to watch. Here's my question, or here's my answer. If LeBron was playing, would I watch it? The answer is yes. If Mobley or Garland or Mitchell was playing, would I watch it? I probably would watch it. I have zero interest in watching this team play. I don't know how you feel, but like no one on this roster goes me going, oh, I'm so excited about it. Let me tune in or let me find something. Like the NBA app does all I need it to do for me. It keeps sending me alerts of what the score is and that's all I need to know. I could care less about outcomes. I got the other night I watched the Browns play a preseason game. I've watched more Browns preseason than I've watched FIBA like this thing. I don't know where you stand on this. I think I don't know if it's not worth it to me because none of the big names are playing or what, but I just don't like Jalen Brunson just doesn't get me going, Mike. Just leave it at that.
All right. Well, let me say, first of all, I agree with you that if a Cavs player was involved in it, I would probably be taking a keener interest in it. I guess I've followed it a little bit more than you, although I can honestly say that I have not watched.
You've looked at, have you any looked, of the have games you looked to at this point. Box but scores? Okay.
I've looked at box scores. I've kept track of, like, I know when they
like,
play.
Like, honestly, the only thing I know for sure is that Giannis isn't playing because his back isn't ready or what knee wasn't ready.
Correct. And there was an announcement today that Porzingis is not going to play. Yeah. And when we played Slovenia, Luka did not play, although he hasn't completely ruled himself out. Yeah, he hasn't completely ruled himself out of the actual World Cup, but there's starting to be speculation that he may not play in the World Cup either. So who knows? But I agree with you that when I look at this roster, there's nobody that I'm tuning in to be like, oh man, I wonder how this guy is playing. I guess the only guy for me that I'm mildly interested in is Anthony Edwards. From a standpoint of when I have looked at box scores, his name is the first one that I go to for whatever reason. That's where my eyes go first. So I guess I'm interested to see how he kind of steps up to the plate as their go-to scorer and to see whether he's ready to take that next step, like has happened for a lot of guys that have participated on these Team USA teams where all of a sudden, boom, a guy who's a young guy comes in and learns from some veterans. Although you don't have the same level of veteran players on this team. You don't have the perennial year in, year out superstars that Anthony Edwards can learn from as a part of this particular team. So I get what you're saying. And in a lot of ways, I agree with you. And if we look ahead to the schedule, so on Friday, they're playing Greece, as you said, obviously without Giannis. Then they have a game Sunday in Germany. And then from there, they move on to the actual World Cup. And the times for the games, August 26th, which if I'm not mistaken, what
August
day
26th
is August
11
26th.
Days. That is a Saturday.
That's a Saturday. So they play Saturday morning at 8:40. So there's a chance that I could be up at 8:40.
I will be at my
game.
First cross country meet in Solon. So I will not be.
Okay. So you will not be watching that. And then Monday, the 28th, they play Greece again at 8:40 a.m. So I'll be at school, but actually that'll be during my planning period. So who knows? There's a chance I could be
all you
doing some work.
Listeners, he's going to be working hard.
Watching that game. Yeah, I could be watching that game. I could be watching that one
day,
okay. A little bit at school. And then on Wednesday, they play at 4:40 a.m. And I can safely say to you that although
Wait a second. What if we did a live podcast at 4:40 a.m. and we just reacted to the game? I'm joking, clearly, but
yeah, we probably don't want to do that because I'm guessing that they're going to pretty handily take care of Jordan.
Wait,
who they're playing
Jordan?
At 4:40 a.m. on August 30th. Jordan all by himself. It's Team USA versus Jordan.
Okay, so here's a question, Mike. Here's the question. Wait.
Jordan 60.
Speaking, you could have five current Michael Jordans versus this Team USA. Okay,
I think I'd take this Team USA. I love Jordan, but I don't think.
What if you took?
I don't think 60-year-old Jordan,
Michael Jordan versus Jordan.
Ooh, that's a good one. Nah, you got to still take Jordan. I think you still got to take the country of
He's
Jordan.
He's probably not
I'm
moving
guessing.
Too well. I don't know. I've.
Nah, probably. Well,
although I did see a video of him playing pickup basketball earlier this summer with Tom Brady and Adam Sandler.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a question for you: was he doing all right against Tom Brady? And
oh, Tom Brady's 45.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, come on.
Was he holding his own? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So here's my question for you: let's take this Team USA, and I don't want to spend a half hour on this, but I think it's an interesting question. This Team USA is going to play the Dream Team. So the Dream Team was obviously at their peak in 1992.
30. Points. They lose by 30.
30 what?
Well, that's the answer.
No, that's not the question. The question is, here's the question. Okay. If the Dream Team
30.
Plays this team, so this team is what, no, listen, this team is what it is. This team stays the same in every one of these scenarios. The Dream Team is now – it's now 1997, and the Dream Team plays against this team. Who wins?
The other team. Dream Team. Get out of here.
Okay.
30.
Jordan's still
30.
At his peak,
I've
right?
Given so, you the
yeah,
answer.
Okay. All right. So let's go another 5 years. 2002. Jordan's been retired for 4 years. Most of those guys are out of the league at that point, probably except for Leitner, because they really didn't have any young guys on that team. Everybody's pretty much retired at that point. Does this current team beat the Dream Team if they match up in 2002?
I think it's close. I mean, cause
I think it's close too. And by 2007,
you
got to pick this team, right? Yeah. Okay. All right.
No,
I don't want to go through any more and hash out scenarios, but I just thought that was kind of an interesting topic. All right. So I guess the bottom line here is I expect that they're going to win their three games in the first round. They're going to beat New Zealand. They're going to beat Greece without Giannis, and they're going to beat Jordan. And then you get to the medal round, which I guess takes you to the, do they start right away with the quarterfinals?
No,
I can't remember if they go to a round of, I don't know if they go to a round of 16 or they're right into the quarterfinals or how it works. But anyway, I expect them to win their three games in the first round.
If they don't
round,
win the gold
we'll
medal,
if the games are on,
right, Mike?
Hour,
if they don't win
I
the gold medal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime the U.S. doesn't win a gold medal, I laugh. You know, what's funny is you always hear, well, this team's going to be competitive with them. And, you know, they're right there because they have NBA players. And you're like, well, this team has every guy on the team is in the NBA. So the argument for Team USA not winning just doesn't hold any water with me. Every time the U.S. laces up their sneakers, I don't care who's on that team, they should be the favorites. And if they don't win, there's a problem with whatever it is, chemistry, coaching, attitude, who knows what it could be. But clearly this team should win the gold medal.
So, all right, so last thing, you said we want to talk briefly Hall of Fame. Like, here's what I'm going to say. I didn't really pay too much attention. I did watch the Dwayne Wade with his dad stuff. I did see the Dwayne Wade and Allen Iverson love fest that was going on. Everything else, like, I mean, Pop got in, Becky Hammon got in, Dirk got in. Was Duncan in this one too? No. Manu, yeah.
No, Manu. So like, Tony Parker.
So, like, great on you, like, all those guys. Like, Dwayne Wade was the thing that seemingly stuck out the most, like him calling his dad up there and all that stuff. And
Manu did not get in this time. He might have already been in. Well, Can't remember when he retired.
Okay.
But Tony Parker's in. Tony Parker
and But anyway, that's kind of like all I really gleaned from it. I know you said you had some kind of quiz you were going to give me, which I'm really excited to show my lack of knowledge. So go ahead.
All right. Well, before I do the quiz, I just wanted to say I thought it was cool. The Iverson Dwayne Wade thing was, I thought, interesting and kind of a tribute, because I think Allen Iverson, look, if he was playing in today's world, he'd probably get criticized a lot more because of analytics and his efficiency and all those things. But when you look at Allen Iverson and you look at the size that that guy was, and you just think about what he was able to do out on an NBA floor with guys that were, I mean, basically dwarfed him, just an incredible player and a guy that I think, because he didn't win quite as much as maybe you'd like a guy to win, I think he kind of gets lost in history. And so it was cool to see Wade just kind of, again, recognize and have Iverson present him, and then for Iverson to obviously wear the outfit with the Wade jersey jacket or whatever that thing was. Yeah. It was kind of cool. It was just cool to see, because you don't often see that between guys from different eras showing that kind of respect and love for one another. So I thought that part of it was cool. So, all right, here's the quiz. So we have, I believe there were 12 inductees, I believe. Maybe there was less. I'll read them off to you. But in the coming weeks, we're going to have one of the enshrinees on the Hoopheads podcast.
Oh, no.
So I don't know if you probably don't know all the names. So do you want me to read all the names? Then you're going to tell me who you think is going to come on.
None of those ones that I said are on the podcast, I'm going to guess. I don't know.
How do you not
look at the Calendly? So.
All right. So here's your choices. Gene Bess, all-time winningest college basketball coach across all levels, 1,300 wins in 50 seasons at Three Rivers Community College. Gary Blair, 852 and 348 in 37 seasons at Stephen F. Austin, Arkansas, and Texas A&M. He won the 2011 Women's NCAA Tournament title at Texas A&M. Pau Gasol. I won't read off who Pau is. Becky Hammon. David Hickson led Amherst College to 826 wins in 42 seasons. Named the Division III Coach of the Year in 2007 and 2013. That is correct. We didn't even have to go any further. David Hickson. So reached out to him. He was recommended to us by Luke Fakertzi from University of Rochester. And I reached out to David actually in the days, I think about
you
a week ago.
You bothered him on Enshrinement Week?
Well, I sent it to everybody that Luke recommended. So I sent it out to Luke recommended to me 15 guys. So I just hit everybody up all at the same time because it was time for another outreach here on the Hoopheads pod. And David said, yes, he definitely wanted to come on, but that he was going to make it through Hall of Fame Enshrinement Weekend, which obviously I quickly responded and said, that is completely understandable. And we will circle back and touch base.
I want an honest answer out of this. When you sent the email, did you know that he was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame? Okay.
I did because I knew that because a couple different guys had talked about how Coach Hickson was going into the Hall of Fame. And obviously, as we go through, I don't remember the exact connections of who worked for him as an assistant and who played for him and this and that. But there were multiple guys that we've had on that have had connections to Coach Hickson.
So do we have a date yet?
We do not have a date yet. So I have to circle back to him. I figured I'd give him a little bit of time to enjoy the Hall of Fame before I made him come on the Hoopheads podcast. So anyway,
I was listening to the bios and the accolades. And I was like, as soon as you said D3 college, that's our lane. That's our lane. So
yeah,
if you wouldn't have said D3, I don't know that I would have done it
recently for sure.
I got you.
Well, good job, man. Good job passing the quiz. All right. I don't think there's anything else that we need to talk about tonight. There is no news on the Damian Lillard front, so we can leave that alone. And nothing really happening with the Cavs. And other than that, it's been kind of a dead week other than James Harden's statement. So
I'm doing his dance right now.
Ad nauseum. There you go. Nice. So if you want to see James Harden's dance, just hop onto Twitter and you can search it up. You'll be able to see all his dance moves over there in China. So we shall see.
I really hope next week we have like something to talk about other than Harden.
Yeah, it would be fun to have a real news story, some kind of trade or something. Well, we'll have some more Team USA stuff we can talk about, which I know you'll be anxiously awaiting.
Do you have any feedback on the Browns, Mike? Do we want to do a Browns segment?
No, I didn't watch. You know what I know about the Browns? My father-in-law said Watson looked good.
Watson looked good in the one possession that they gave him, but I think they pulled him because of the weather. They're not starting him this week, I'm assuming, because they had all the joint practices this week, so they probably got all the reps they needed for him this week. I would like to think that he's at least going to start next week in the last game of the preseason to get some more reps because, I mean, one possession where he was 3 for 3 for 12 yards or something like that or 50 – like he looked good in the pocket, though. He scrambled when he needed to. He got out of a sack from Chase Young, which was good. The play calling needs to improve, but that seems to be a staple. We also have to understand, though, Watson was doing this without his number one wide receiver. He was doing it without his number one running back, and there was a few linemen out. So I feel good. I feel good. Right before the season starts, we'll have to make our predictions, Mike, about where we think the Browns are going to do. But that's my statement.
How's our kicker looking? How's our kicker looking?
No.
Is he good?
He did well in practice today. Though. He was 6 for 6.
Oh, he did? Oh, great. You know who does well in practice? James Harden. You know who does well in the regular season? James Harden. You know who doesn't do well when it counts?
Someone said, well, we won't really need a kicker if we score lots of touchdowns. I'm like, that's not how this
It's not how it works. Come on. That's not a good football take.
Considering the field, the extra points for every single touchdown are like 43 yards now. It's like, come on now.
Hey, we're just going to go for 2 all the time, man.
Analytics.
Let's go for 2. Analytics.
All right. I just thought I'd throw that out there. We won't have a Browns segment next week because it's no one's all big right, time's well, playing. So,
yeah, we're still a couple weeks away from me having any Browns takes. September 10th, first game,
Mike.
All right, so we got a couple weeks before I can bring any solid Browns takes to the table. So, all right, let's leave it there. Thanks to everyone for checking us out tonight. Really appreciate it. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies. And most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the portfolio guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your coaching portfolio guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.